We're going to talk about teaching your son at home.
This may come as a surprise, but boys and girls really are different. The Lord gave us six boys in a row. Yeah, six in a row. And then two little girls at the end. And it's been really interesting to us to see the differences between them because they really are different. They're different from the very beginning.
There's all sorts of mannerisms that don't have to be taught, that they don't pick up from the environment. They're things that just seem to be hardwired into them. And that's boys and girls.
Now, this is a picture of our family several years ago. I notice how short David is now. Now David's 6'5". But you can see we've got four adult sons now, and we have four still at home, two boys and two girls.
So we had something happen to us when our first son was just turning about 9 years
He
old.
was 9 or 10 years old. We were in the van listening to cassette tapes. Yeah, that's kind of like CDs, but different.
No, not at all. No,
Well,
but
yeah, record
at
stuff.
any rate,
Okay, these people are too young to know what that
we were
is.
listening to a recording
We're
of
listening to a recording of a Gilbert and Sullivan musical. Have you ever heard the Pirates of Penzance? It's really funny. And we're listening to it, and this song comes on that's really entertaining.
Okay. I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fights historical, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. And I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations, the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news, and many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
So when this came on, my son just listened rapt, and at the end of it, he said, "Mama, when are we gonna study all that stuff?" And I lost it because he had been driving me crazy. Our school was taking 3 hours. It was an all-day affair. He was whining constantly, and I just lost it. I said, "Son, look, we'll study all that stuff if you ever get out of the fifth grade." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "But look, I can drag you through addition subtraction. I can drag you through multiplication division. I can even drag you through fractions and decimals, but I cannot drag you through differential calculus." Well, the next morning, when he got up and came downstairs, he said, "Mom, could you give me a list of all the things I need to do to get school done today?" And when I recovered consciousness, I gave him a list, and he got his schoolwork done that day for the first time in ages. It was a wake-up call for me to realize, you know what? This child is motivated by different things than I am. He really is different than I am.
And that's right, really from the very start. They are different. They are, oftentimes mothers, I think, look sons. That's okay. They are different from mom. Even a quiet, sensitive, shy boy still has much more in common with dad than he does with his mother. But
On
the
some really basic levels, he may have a personality like his mom.
right. But the point is, there are certain things which are just characteristic of boys, and we need to understand that and work with it. And at the same time, don't get hung up on the stereotypes. If you have a son who is not a noisy, boisterous type of guy,
That's fine. God made all kinds of different
exactly.
boys. But we're going to be talking about things we generally see in boys. And you may think, "Well, my boy's not like that." Maybe not right now.
Right.
But listen, take what applies to you, leave the rest. But I think you'll get some insights about the way that God made young men, help you to do a better job teaching them and have less stress in teaching them.
So let's talk about some of these things.
Let's talk first about preschool and early learning. I see all the time how on Facebook moms say, "I don't know what to do. I've got this wonderful curriculum, but my 4-year-old boy not interested in learning his letters." No, he's probably not.
No, that's really taking the approach, I think, at the earliest years, because at the very beginning, They're just learning what's in the world around them. And play is that's really the way they're interacting with the world. They're trying different roles, imagining different things that they'll do in life and how they'll interact with that world that they're learning about.
They're learning a lot through play. And it was kind of hard for me to accept because I was so excited about homeschooling and I wanted a curriculum, wanted to start. But really, especially for boys, later may be better.
In other words, don't start when they're 4 or 5. Maybe start when 6, maybe even 7.
Or later if they're not ready. Because, see, something I had to learn the hard way is don't make goals about things you can't change. And you cannot change your child's developmental readiness to read. There are some kids that will spontaneously learn to read when they're 2 without anyone teaching them. And there's some kids that will not learn to read, no matter how much you teach them, until they're 13 or 14. The majority are going to learn at 6 and 7. But here is something that's true. It really doesn't have anything to do with your intelligence. Some smart kids don't learn to read until they're really older, like Thomas Edison. Others learn when they're later. Don't worry about it. But one thing about little boys, it's a rare little boy who's ready to learn to read at 4 or 5. Some are, but it's rare. In fact, 200 years ago, they didn't even start school until kids were 8 or 9. And yet, they were graduating from high school, ready to go to college, knowing Greek and Latin by the time they were 14 or 15.
Well, okay, but now if you're saying that don't just automatically assume that they're ready when they're 6 or
Is the readiness.
okay.
For example, you begin to teach them the letters and their sounds. And so you might say, okay, today is B day. B says B. Let's look for things that start with the sound B. And if tomorrow you say, now what is this letter that we studied yesterday? And they say, B, B, it says B. And a week later they say, it's ready to learn to read. Once he's learned pretty much all the consonants and the short vowel sounds. But if instead he says, I don't remember. That doesn't mean he's not smart. It just means he's not developmentally ready. You look for the same kind of things in math. You look for their ability to manipulate numbers and to add things without calling it adding. And you look for those things in their play that say they're ready. And that way you don't make them feel like failures by starting and they're not really ready.
Right. Okay. So, what kind of curriculum would you recommend at that age?
For a preschool, preferably none.
Not at all.
Not at all. Do lots of reading to them, play, learn in natural life. If you feel like you've got to have a curriculum, maybe you've got husband or a grandmother or somebody who's putting a lot of pressure on you, there are some play-based curricula, and we can put that in a handout for you. But as you move in, say they're ready to learn, what you want to look for little boys, things that do not require a lot of writing. Not a bunch of worksheets to fill out, but things instead that they're going to do and they're going to talk about and they're going to do projects and they're going to read books. Not a lot of writing at first for little boys. So stay away from the curricula that were written for schools. That's generally not a good choice for little boys.
Now,
There are all kinds, like we've mentioned, there's all kinds of developmental differences. There's some developmental differences between boys and girls.
Well, yeah, and sometimes we think that boys are slow because girls develop in ways that are, let's say, easier to
School
teach.
friendly.
They're school friendly, that's right.
Girls can sit still longer earlier. Girls can tend to have more in the way of small motor skills earlier.
So the fill in the blank worksheets might work great for his sister, but not really play to the strengths of boy.
Instead, boys develop earlier in other areas like large motor skills. I remember having our boys at 18 months could throw a ball, hit you in the chest every time.
Yeah, he was it was uncanny with him. Well, there's not a lot in school that rewards large motions like that.
Boys also learn spatial reasoning earlier than girls. So like they'll build a whole city of Duplos. Now, of course, then they pretend to be Godzilla and
That's
stomp through it and
another
destroy it.
characteristic, yeah.
But they're
Right.
better at the spatial meaning, putting things together, size and shape. And but again, that's not something we really reward in school.
just need to recognize that every school program is not going to hit every student the same way, and what works for your girls may not work for your boys, and that doesn't mean anything's wrong.
It's very normal for boys to struggle with small motor skills until they're 10 or 11. And so the less actual writing you can do in the early years, the better. You know, teach what you're teaching.
You had a mom come up to you at a conference and say, "My son just really hates science."
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Usually boys love science. What's up with that?
And she explained that, well, he just doesn't like it. And he especially didn't like the exercises and the writing things at the end of the chapter.
She was all excited to tell me that she required me to use complete sentences and paragraphs to answer the questions at the end of the chapter. And I thought, no wonder he hates it. So don't make your son hate history or science by requiring a lot of writing. Instead, find out what they know verbally. Why don't they do that in the schools? Because the teacher doesn't have time.
Right. So you really want to check their knowledge in that subject in science. You want to see, does he understand concepts of science? Not can he write in complete sentences?
Now, sometimes you gotta make them write. You know, that's when they're studying handwriting, they should be pushing the pencil across the
Yeah, and
paper.
when they're writing essays for college exams, they've got to do that. But you know what? When you're talking the first primary school years,
Yeah, it's gonna get a lot easier as they get older. Now, let's talk about gadgets. Boys love
Okay,
gadgets.
those are both good and bad. Now, I'm an engineer by training, okay? And it just makes my blood run cold when I see elementary school kids pushing around a calculator for math. They need to be learning basic arithmetic. They need to be learning the mental math. They need to memorize their times tables so that they can use math with some skill and some understanding when they get to the high school level. But you know what? We had a son who was dysgraphic. He wasn't dyslexic. He could read like terrifically, but writing was a really difficult thing for him. Well, his uncle gave him his old laptop when he upgraded his office equipment, and suddenly our son found that he could type fast. He could express himself in words great if he was typing. It was just harder for him to push a pencil or a pen around. And so in that case,
Sometimes a gadget helps.
using the laptop freed him up. So that was a good use of a gadget.
You know, we mentioned the wide range of what's normal. You know, some reading at 2, some reading at 14. They're radical differences in normal, and those differences seem to be wider in boys than they are in girls. But, you know, one mom came up to us at a conference and she said, "I don't know what to do. I don't think my son's ever going to learn to read." And there's this little 9-year-old standing next to her, and he just looked like he wanted to fall through the floor. And I said, "You know what? Listen up. When you learn later, you learn faster. If a boy learns to read when he's 5, you know when he learns to read like an adult?" He said, "When?" I said, "When he's about 13." So, you know, if he learns to read when he's 7, when do you think he learns to read like an adult? He said, "When?" I said, "When he's about 13." I said, "If he learns to read when he's 9, when do you think he learns to read like an adult?" He said, "When he's 13." I said, "Yeah, and same thing if he learns to read when he's 11. He's going to learn to read like an adult when he's about 13." And so don't worry, son. If you learn later, you're going to learn faster. And that's one of the beauties about homeschooling. And, you know, well, the Civil War chaplains proved that.
Well, we saw that in one of the history of the chaplaincy during the war between the states. The chaplains on both sides said that there was a great revival that went through both armies in the latter years of the war. And they had all these boys who had come in off the farms who could, barely read or not read at all, who had been thrown together in the army, and God had given them a new heart. There was salvation in the air, and these young men had a hunger to read the Bible for themselves. And so the chaplains got their messmates and they themselves went out to teach these young men how to read. Well, they said that they found they could take somebody that was a totally illiterate young man and teach him to read the King James Version of the Bible in 3 months. Now,
Wow.
that's from zero to King James English in 3 months. Okay. Now,
Wow.
that should tell you something. This teaching them to read is not something that's going to have to take 5 or 6 years. It's something
No.
that if their brains are matured enough, they can learn it fairly quickly.
Well, and it really doesn't have anything to do with your intelligence. Thomas Edison was sent home from school. They told his mother he'd never learn to read.
Said similar things about Albert Einstein.
And see, when we homeschool, we have the flexibility to keep them on grade level and everything else. We can read the math alone.
We can
We
get
can read
audiobook versions of their science.
and their history. We've got that flexibility. And if you have a child who is a struggling learner, don't be afraid to make accommodations. You may think, well, there's no way to teach writing if you can't write. Yeah, let him dictate it. In fact, one of our sons who didn't learn to read until he was 11 and struggled with writing until he was in high school, when he was in the 7th or 8th grade, he said, Mama, I wish I could compete in the essay contest like my brothers and win money. Our State History Museum sponsors contest. I said, well, let me make some calls. And I called him. I said, got a son that has learning challenges. Is it all right if he dictates his essay? They said, sure, as long as he does his own research. He won number one in the state of North Carolina that year.
See,
In
that's
fact, that son is now at college on a full ride academic scholarship with a 3.9 GPA.
But I see this is another example of teaching what you're teaching, because what they wanted was they wanted to hear the creative results of his research and his thinking and his ability to communicate that, not his ability to write it by hand.
That's
And
right.
so by letting him dictate it, then you are allowing him to communicate what they were asking for, without him getting all hung up in the ditches because writing came slowly.
So when do you get help? Typically, if they're 9 or 10, if they're 8 or 9 and they're not reading yet, then it's a good idea to get them tested, to get or to look into getting some help for struggling learners, and to help them out there, because there are things that you can do to help their brains work better, but not until they're
Yeah,
that age at
when they're six or
least.
seven, they're still in the middle part of it, so
Yeah,
you
so
can't really make a
yeah,
diagnosis
don't
that
worry
early.
about that.
Not to worry. Okay. Now, there are differences in the ways that girls and boys like to learn. Okay. This is the emblem for Hampton Sydney College. It's a little liberal arts college not too far from where we live. The interesting thing about them is they're an all-male college. There's only a few of those left in the country. And one of our sons wanted to study economics. They've got a really great economics department. So we went to visit Hampton Sydney College. They asked our son, would you like to go sit in on a freshman class? So he said, yes, I would. So they took him down the hall. We stayed and talked to the department head for a little bit. And then our son came back and he was so excited. He said, Mom, you would
Yes.
not believe that class. That was the most awesome thing ever. It was
Oh,
great.
great.
I got in there and the professor had put a proposition up on the
Okay.
board
Yeah.
and the students were arguing with him about
Oh.
it. And he said there were a bunch of knuckleheads
Oh.
and they were shouting at him. He threw an eraser at one of them. Oh, it
What?
was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, my word. And I would have felt threatened or attacked in a class like that, but he clearly loved it. And that kind of sparked us doing some research. And boys and girls learn differently. Research shows, for example, that girls like to learn in a warm, nurturing, dimly lit environment. You know what happens to a boy if you put him in a warm, nurturing, dimly lit environment? He goes to sleep.
Yeah,
He goes to
that's right,
sleep.
you lose him.
Yeah, boys can learn in a brightly lit, cool environment that where people are engaging the and discussing the
See,
propositions.
that is a key thing to the way that young men like to learn things is to test them out, to find out where the boundaries are, to say, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Have you considered a different situation? That's how they like to learn. They want to argue it down to the truth. And so it's not a matter if your son is asking a lot of questions and debating with you, it doesn't mean he's talking back. It, a lot of times, that's just the way they like to learn.
So true. One of the other gender differences is just how loud and engaged they like things to be. For example, I had a friend who told me, Melanie, she came to our house visiting and she was disturbed because I was speaking loudly to the boys. And she, when we have 6 boys in a row, she had all girls and she said, Melanie, you should never raise your voice to those children. You should, if you want their attention, you should speak more softly. You should teach them to listen for their mother's voice. Well, I tried that. They never even knew I was talking to them.
They don't get it at all. You see, the thing of it is, it's kind of like what?
I was gonna ask, do you remember when you told our
Well,
daughter?
I did try it. After having six boys, it was kind of a novelty having girls. And I thought, well, let me see how this works with the girls. So one day we had this one little girl who was really hyperactive. She came tearing through the house. She was about 3, 4 years old. And I just whispered, Katie, I have a secret. And she did a quick U-turn and got right up in my face and said, what is it? I mean, she was on top of that.
She was
She
on
heard
it.
that whisper. But the sons, the boys, yeah, they
Well,
don't.
see, girls hear the tones of the human voice more easily than boys do.
Boys tend to focus on what they're doing and not listen to the stuff around. So, like when Mr. Incredible in that wonderful movie has he loses his job and he comes home, and he's understandably distracted. The kids at the dinner table are running crazy, and his wife is trying to rein them in, and he's not paying attention at all. And she says, "Bob, it's time to engage," and that's really it. We have to get our son's attention and engage their minds. That make eye contact, call them by name or whatever, so that they tune that channel to hear what you're going to say.
Very often at conferences, moms will come up and they'll say, I just don't know what to do. We get to about 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, and my son just, he can't sit still. He's just total fidgety and he can't sit still and he can't concentrate. And I'll say, well, how are you handling that? And she says, I tell him, honey, you need to focus. We just have five more subjects to do before lunch.
And how is that working for you?
It's not.
It's
And you know
not.
what, boy, sometimes you got to get them moving. Boys actually learn better when they've used their big muscle groups. And so if they can't sit still, say, give me 10 on the stairs, boom, 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 boom,
Or
boom, boom, boom.
have them run laps around the yard or do some push-ups or something.
Push-ups.
Do something to use those large muscle groups and to get the blood flowing again. And that'll help. That really does help them to calm down and concentrate.
It's interesting, but boys that are, they're made to concentrate and they're super easily distracted. And sometimes you may find your boys need to get up early in the morning to work, or they need to work while the little ones are asleep because they just can't focus because there's so much going on around them.
Now, we hear a lot of times, we hear parents saying, our son just is so busy all the time. We really think he must be hyperactive. He's ADD or something.
Yeah, have you ever seen a dog corn chip on its nose? And you put the corn chip there, and they're supposed to not eat it until you tell them. And that dog, you can tell every ounce of its being is concentrating on don't eat the chip. From the tip of its quivering tail all the way to its little bitty brain is saying, don't eat the chip. If you ask your boys to sit still too long, pretty soon they're going to be using all their brains to sit still, and there's going to be nothing left to learn with.
Okay, so is this normal? Yeah, this is totally normal. Boys are by nature more active than girls. They tend to be a lot more noisy. They tend to be how all over the place. And so that is perfectly normal behavior, especially in a young boy, in a 6, 7, 8, 9 year old boy. So, the fact that he's all over the place is not necessarily cause for alarm or cause for medication. This is an interesting piece of furniture here. This is a reproduction of Thomas Jefferson's desk. He designed it for himself, and what you see there is the whole setup. There was no chair, there was no stool, there was nothing to sit on. It's a standing desk because Jefferson had realized that he could think longer and more creatively if he stood up at the desk rather than lounging back in a chair somewhere. And so, I've heard of boys' schools that don't have chairs.
In fact, that was the norm 150 years ago, that boys' schools all had standing desks. That big muscle movement can help your boys learn. For example, they might find it easier to write a sentence or to work a math problem on a big whiteboard than they do sitting down on a desk. Standing up, they can do their math standing up at the kitchen counter. You can get them to do all their math on the whiteboard, and you may think, well, how do I keep records? Take a picture of it.
Take a picture. Everybody's got these things, right? So,
Yeah, but that do what it takes to make it easier for them to do it. And you know what? He's gonna learn. He's gonna grow up. He's gonna be able to sit still one day.
But when they're very young, no, not so much. Now, one thing that they are going to ask is why is this important? What do I care about this? There was a study done some years ago. They talked to students in some European schools, like 5 and 6 years old, and they were asking them about their attitudes and their feelings about school. And right, one of the things that that came out that I thought was very interesting, the boys' responses were very much like the way asked about school, and they said, "Is this going to be on the test? Am I going to be responsible for this? Are we ever going to see this information again? Why is this important? Go ahead and impress me. Go ahead and explain that to me. Make your case." That is very typical of, I think, of just the male mind. What's necessary? What is expedient? What will help me to do the job for today? And don't clutter up my mind with a bunch of extraneous stuff. Now, that's a little hard to do to put into practice when you're talking to a student, when you're talking to an elementary school student, because you're teaching them things that he may not actually be using for many years to come. Well, you still need to be giving them some handles to say, hey, you know what? I'm teaching you math not because I want you to do parlor tricks with it, but because I want you to be able to do calculations when you are an engineer or when you're a building contractor or when you are an accountant or something else that uses these tools.
Well, you can get so much further, young man, if you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he may say something completely unrealistic. He may want, like, if he's 11, he's going to say, I want to program video games. Yes, that is every other 11-year-old. But take him seriously and say, wow, well, those schools are hard to get into. To do that, you're going to have a lot of serious math. Let's look, you're going to need out pre-calculus and algebra 2 and algebra 1 and geometry and you know what? You better get busy because if you're going to get there, this math is going to help you get there. They need to have long-term goals. They need to realize, that there's nails in the world and they're a hammer, but they also need short-term goals. Like, for a long time, how I hesitated to give our boys a list. I was like, just come to me, honey, when you're done, and I'll tell you the next thing to do.
Yeah, but you know what? Every time they come back to mom, mom has the next thing to do, and they feel like, well, if I hurry up and get finished, then I'll end up doing more and more. And so you kind of disincentivize them for focusing and working hard. So really, you might do better to say, all right, son, here are the five things or the six things that you need to do today. And when you've done them all, then you're done. And you can have time off until lunch or whenever you give them a deadline. But to say, here's a goal for the day. Let's see if you can achieve this. And there's a reward for them at the end.
So, another thing that is very different in a boy's mind than a mom's mind. I'm waiting because it looks like we're stuck.
That's okay.
Okay, one thing that's very different in a mom's view versus a son's view is stress. Now, when women experience stress, they shut down. They turn inward. They can't think very clearly and they tend to forget it very quickly. This is why we have more than one child. If a guy, if a man undergoes stress or discomfort or pain, he tends to think more clearly. Now, this makes sense if you think about our different roles. Because if a guy is out there in a battle and he takes a bullet, he needs to think the most clearly he has in his entire life.
Yeah, he needs to be able to react to dangerous situations, emergencies, to threats. He needs to be able to think more clearly. And so, we handle stress differently, and sometimes we create it for ourselves. Have you ever noticed that an 8 or 9 year old boy will chew on the neck of a t-shirt
Oh, it's so gross.
after
Oh, they
they
chew on
chew on
their
their shirt?
t-shirts,
You know
they chew on their pencils, on
what?
their pens, on
That's
their
right.
knuckles.
Yep, that's right. Well, even now as an adult, if I'm really concentrating on something and building something in a workshop or whatever, I'll catch myself like gnawing on the inside of a lip, or maybe sticking my tongue out between my teeth or something like that, because a little bit of stress, a little bit of physical discomfort actually helps me to focus and to concentrate better.
Now, don't misquote us. We're not telling you telling you to put your boys in pain.
No.
No, but adding a little bit of stress can actually make it better because, mine is to hand them the fact sheet in math and say,
Yeah.
and he says, how long do I have to do it? And I'm like, oh, honey, I don't want him to feel bad about it. So take as long as you
That
need.
means I can stretch this out till Thursday.
Yeah.
But see, what we found is when our boys, particularly when they get to the preteen years and the math starts to take forever, is to say, all right, when it's time to do your worksheet, come to me and I'll time you. Not to put them, not to make them panic or anything, give them the high stress situation like an elimination game show, but rather to say, all right, tell me when you start and we'll see how long it takes you to do it. And then don't tell them the time again until they're finished. But if you get to the end and say, okay, son, that took you 2 hours and 15 minutes today. Let's see if you can do better tomorrow. We found that in a very short time, that idea, that memory that there's a clock running in the background and I'm going to beat my previous time will help them focus in and actually concentrate and do a whole lot better.
Oh, sometimes they go down and just be able to. It took them 3 hours one day. It might take them 45 minutes after a while.
Now, another thing that your boys have trouble with is knowing when and how to ask for help. Okay, that's something that we guys just don't do. We don't admit to being lost. If you have to ask directions, how do you deal with a student who doesn't want to ask for help?
Well, first of all, your goal should be to raise independent learners.
Mm-hmm.
I know as our first kids got older and I thought, maybe I'm not doing enough, maybe I'm not involved enough. No, they need to be independent learners. Our kids, when they went off to college, have called home and said, Mom, thank you for homeschooling me. I'm like, whoa, could you say that again? Can I record that? Wouldn't that make a great ringtone on my phone?
Yeah.
But no, they say, seriously, Mom, you taught me how to learn myself. And I'm at a top college. You had to be smart to get in. But kids are flunking out all over the place because they have no idea how to manage their own time.
So, you know what? Yes, you want to teach them to be independent learners, but that's not going to happen when they're 7 years old.
No, when they're seven, if you take your eyes off them, they're going to be gone. But they're going to gain some independence. And just about the time you think they've got it, they're
Yeah.
going to get hormonal in the preteen years. And then they're going to lose it. And they're going to need a lot more supervision and help. And then they're going to regain it, and by the time they're in high school, they're going to be very independent. In the meantime, it helps a lot if you give them a way to ask for help that doesn't require coming up and saying, Mommy, I don't understand.
Now, see, one of the things that our guys will tend to do is let's say you give them a problem set in math. They'll get started on it, and the first one they get to that they don't understand, they will stop, end of the session.
One of ours did that the other day. He walks by and says, hey, son, have you done your math?
Yes, I'm done with math.
Oh, well, I've got a little extra time here, which I don't usually have. Why don't you bring it? I'll check over it and I can help you with anything you need in the past few days, too.
Well, I need about 15 minutes. Can I bring in about 15 minutes?
No, right now.
It's Tim
Right now.
now.
Right now. And
Okay.
what happened is he got into problem eight and he hit one he didn't know and he quit. And you're not supposed to do that in our house. In our house, if you hit a problem you can't do, you can come get my help right then, or you can write the number for that problem at the top of your page and keep going. And that way, when I have time, I'll come help you with the ones you're struggling with. We've got to teach them to take responsibility for their learning, that it's their responsibility to get the help that they need. That really help when they get to college
Okay.
or on the job.
Yes, it will. So.
There's two really important things that you need to know about teaching boys,
Okay.
and especially things that you got to teach and do that are really almost more important than the stuff you're teaching.
It's really important to recognize that because of that fine motor skill differential, girls often just take off and run happily along in elementary school when their brothers are kind of struggling a little bit because the writing is coming slowly or whatnot. And then when they get to middle school, when they get to the preteen years, everybody goes into a little academic slump. That's part of development. And so I think girls who've been sailing along and happily succeeding say, oh, I'm having a bad year. but they've got a good memories in the past there, and they hope for the future. Boys who may have been kind of limping along to start with, if they lose traction in middle school, which they will, a lot of them say, "That's it, I'm done. This is not getting better at all."
And they don't even try. And the rough part about that is when boys get to high school, they have a tremendous growth spurt. We have seen boys who at 14 had no interest in academics, were terribly unsuccessful. At 17, they're reading ancient philosophers for fun. And at 19, they're rocking it in college.
So what can you do if there is a natural slump there, particularly in middle school?
There's two, and if you want more details about that, we're doing another session called Middle School Madness. You need to go listen to it. But two important things, and really, you can't mess up the early years, kindergarten, first, second grade. You cannot mess them up except for mess. You've got to protect their academic confidence. That means you can't compare them. You can't say, "Look at your sister's neat worksheets. Why are you such a mess?" You can't compare them.
Or you can't say, you could do this last year, and I don't know why you can't do it now. Well, it's because there's changes happening in their preteen brain, and yeah, for a time there, they do lose some ability. So you can't compare them even to themselves from a year or two previously.
You have to reassure and encourage them. "You know what? You're doing a good job at this, and it's going to get easier. Don't worry. I know it's hard now. I remember struggling with this when I was in school, but it's going to get easier. You're going to get it." And you need to praise them. You know, when they do things right, when they're making progress, when they improve in something, praise them. "Son, you know what? I am super impressed with that paragraph you wrote because I know I can compare it to what you wrote a few months ago. And it's amazing how much you've learned. You really worked hard." That boys, like the men they will become, crave respect. And if you give them authentic praise like that, praise that explains why you're praising them, they will bust their behinds to get more of it.
Now, the second thing, you've got to preserve their love of learning. And here's an important principle. See if you guys, school and learning are not the same thing. Okay. And a lot of boys struggle with the schooling process. Okay. That because of the way school was presented, because of the schoolwork and the demands of it, they struggle with that. But all boys like to learn stuff. They'll find something that they love. It might be dinosaurs, it might be spacecraft, it might be trains, it could be anything, but they will study it on their own. They'll become little young experts on a subject. They love to learn something. It's just the way they learn it may not be the way that the school was presenting it.
And so, how do you preserve the love of learning? Do something other than bookwork. Avoid busy work. Don't have them filling out endless worksheets of things they know how to do. Instead, do some hands-on activities, do some projects, discuss things, debate them, go on field trips. Make learning real, make learning hands-on. And you know what? Because that love of learning and that academic confidence will pay off big time when they get to high school. Because we hear all the time from moms who say, "My son's in high school, he won't even try." And others that say, "Wow, I cannot believe how my struggling learner is now doing all kinds of stuff. He's writing papers, he's winning essay contests." The second boy, his parents protected his academic confidence and preserved his love of learning. And those are the most important jobs because you know what? If they have academic confidence and the love of learning, they can learn the rest of it.
They'll pick it up.
They'll pick it up.
Okay, what else do we need to share here?
We just need to tell them, you know, the whole goal here is to work with the way that God designed our boys to prepare them for the mission He has for them.
And you know, what they ultimately do in life, you can't really know and predict, but you can give them as much preparation as they're really able to handle while you have that role in their lives. And you know, we just encourage you, aim high, encourage your sons to look forward to it and to say, hey, you know what? Everything you learn now is going to be useful in some way in your life going forward. So, you know, do that. Just go ahead and say, God made our boys to learn a little differently than their sisters. They interact with the world a little differently. They interact with academics differently, and that's perfectly fine.
It's
Let's
okay.
work with it instead of fight against it.
And you know what? You'll both enjoy it a lot more. We would like to invite you to come visit our website. It's raisingrealmen.com. You see it right up there. If you've enjoyed hearing the way Hal talk about our raising boys, you're going to love our book. People say that Raising Real Men is like having coffee with us in our living room. It's available in hard copy and an audio book. A lot of couples buy what we call the mom and dad special, the hard copy and the audio book all together, so that dad can listen to the audio book on commute and mom can hide in the bathroom and reverse. Join us on social media at everywhere/raisingrealmen. And Hal, why don't you tell them about Hero Tales?
Okay, this is great. Theodore Roosevelt and his friend Henry Cabot Lodge in 1895 published a book called Hero Tales from American History. They wanted to teach lessons in patriotism and citizenship and just overall good character using examples from American history. And so we started reading this as a family read aloud and said, wow, this would make a cool audio book. And then when we started recording it, we said, hey, let's add some effect.
Because history is way better with cannon fire and screaming French mobs.
Okay, and so we have this available now. It's a 5-CD set. All of these stories stand alone, and you'll really enjoy getting a good, strong, pro-American view of the heroes of our history.
We also carry Diane Craft's Materials for Struggling Learners. These were absolutely life-changing for our son, who didn't until he was 11, and for our daughter, who had some learning difficulties and didn't read until she was 9. These books, my son tells people, they changed his life. Head out to our website, raisingrealmen.com, and at least get yourself a download of Surviving Struggling to Read. Sam, our son, who learned to read when he was 11, he and I do this workshop together. Listen to it with your child. It'll be super encouraging. And we've got all of Diane Craft's stuff up there, too, so that you can get it easily.
All right.
And let's see. I think we got one last thing here. Nope. Okay. We carry a ton of great character building living books. These are classics that every child ought to read. And because we know sometimes boys aren't as comfortable with reading as early as girls are, we've got them all in audiobook. And what I love about that, too, is you can listen to them as a family and discuss them. And that just, it's been so profitable for our family. So head out to the website, take a look at some you've heard of, some you haven't heard of, but 100 years ago, every Christian in America had heard of the Sky Pilot and the Witness. And so go out there and take a look at those things. These are the books that our kids say change their hearts and help them to grow good character. And we've got
first off is our workshop called Homeschooling a Houseful, because hey, we got 8 kids and this lady homeschooled 6 grades at once. Okay, how do you manage that?
Well, and how do you keep the house from being condemned while you do it? So go to Homeschooling a Houseful. It'll teach you how to juggle all those balls and keep from getting hit in the face with them. We're also going to give you the first volume of Hero Tales from American History, because we think you're going to love it. You're going to want the rest of them.
Right.
And Surviving Struggling to Read. It's a freebie in there. You can get it. Listen to with your struggling learner. Go to raisingrealmen.com/homeschoolpack. And you know what? May the Lord give you a boy-friendly homeschool and one day many, many memories. I asked one of our older kids recently, what were your favorite memories of growing up? And he said, Mom, one of my favorite memories was you lying on the couch, I was on pregnancy bedrest, and reading to us stories of ancient Greeks and Romans. He said, it sparked my imagination. It gave me a love for history, a love for economics. He's in graduate school now. Love for politics. And that moment of homeschooling was one of his favorite childhood memories. Cool. And you have the same kind of story with your children.